Here we are, folks. Our end of the year season finale stream, in which, of course, on the Jay and Rob Toy Show, we're counting down the Kickstarter campaign, all the while battling thunder and lightning storms right this very second. My dog is going nuts. And speaking of which, let me bring my fellow dog on. My dog, my brah, the crypto to my ace, who's joining us remotely from his phone until his power comes back on, Mr. Jay Bartlett. Are you here? Can you hear us?
Oh, hello.
Hello. Yes.
Ship out of danger.
We can barely see you. This is so dramatic. I love it.
Where is my camera? Here?
Yes. Here. Okay. Right there.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, it's all the power's out here. So there's nothing. I have no lights at all.
We see this. This is hilarious. We got a little bit of light
flag,
on you.
I hope. I can barely hear you. I apologize.
Turn up your phone so you can hear us, or use your Bluetooth headset. Anyways, we can get to that if you cut out. I'll carry the show as best as I can until your power comes back on. We live like 3 minutes away from each other, but of course you don't have power. As I mentioned, this is the countdown for our Kickstarter campaign. So I'm going to pop that on screen and just see where we're at for Action Figure Adventure Season 2. 57 minutes to go, 125 backers, over $9,000. That is a huge uptick in the last 24, 48 hours where we were sitting around 90 backers. So a bunch of you have jumped on board in the final minutes. Thank you so much for supporting the cause. It's truly humbling, and it really helps us finish the series in the best possible way and get it to you sooner. I want to give a shout out to everybody in our chat, of course. Severus Snape, who's saying afternoon all. Ryan B, who's saying happy Saturday. Hope everyone is doing well. Luna Spark, hello, everyone. Skelevator is with us. Good morning, good afternoon. And Luna Spark is proudly one of those 125 backers, which is just phenomenal. 57 minutes to go. We're not just going to sit here looking at the clock. Of course, we will check in on that to see the dramatic finish of this, of course. Now 56 minutes to go. I can't wait to see where we end up, Jay. We do have a packed show, of course, as we round out our season. As fellow fans and community people know, we usually take the summers off, come back in the fall, do another 25, 30 episodes, and then kind of have summer vacation. How have you been doing, my friend?
I've been better. you know how I hate the open room sound when there's no mic, and that's what I sound like right now.
No, you sound actually really decent.
Oh, good. The iPhone 13 Pro Max, baby, right there. Good. It's funny. I'm not a fan of, I hate Canadian weather, and just like out of nowhere. And we live close to each other, but it was like, I thought there was going to be a tornado for a few minutes. It was pretty insane.
It was beautiful at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. A little warm. It's over 20 degrees Celsius, of course, which is like 72 Fahrenheit for our American listeners. And out of nowhere, the skies just like went dark and the apocalypse was coming. And of course, we talk about the weather on all our shows. And what a dramatic finish for us to have a lightning storm threaten our Kickstarter campaign countdown, leave you in the dark, and possibly interrupt our live stream midstream. So here we are. Morning, Cactus. Well, Jamie, thanks for joining us as well.
We're here. I can't see any of the chat, so what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. And just a quick shout out to everybody who's pledged over the last month. It's amazing. Like this is your probably only chance to get it on a Blu-ray, so you get a hard copy of it, which is great because digital sucks. And yeah, then you can kind of do with it what you want, lend it to your buddies, keep it forever. So yeah, you have just less than an hour. So if you haven't already, now's the time.
Get in on it. Jay is right. This is the probably the final chance to definitely secure a Blu-ray or DVD. We'll order basically up to the price break that we can get. So we usually only have like 20 or 30 left over. Those get kind of liquidated to various vendors, usually local ones or stores that we visited so that they can help push their presence in the season, of course. But this is it. This is your big chance. I want to give a shout out, of course, to our season two sponsors, Heroes Comics and Cards in London, Ontario, Big Bad Toy Store, Mock Masters. Protect those dollies. Got them on your shelf. Got them on your wall. You got to put them in a Mock Master. Keep them safe from the sun, even during a lightning storm. Keep them safe. And of course, Retro Rags, for all your awesome, iconic illustrations, for whatever pop culture suits your little heart to make it go thumpity thump, thump, thump. Icebreaker for you, Jay. What do you wish they taught you in school that they didn't, that would help you be a better collector or help your collection?
A toy class would have been great. Like, I would have wished, this is just my experience with school, that the arts were a little bit more open to interpretations of things like that, because I do believe toys are art, especially toy box art. So I wish they had, I remember I brought in art class, some figures and stuff here and there, and it was just like, oh, that's not real art. You got to show, you know, a painting or a drawing or something like that. So I wish, you know, I maybe would have stayed in school a little bit longer if they were a little bit kinder to my creative side. Hence, they weren't, which is why this is what I do now.
I would love to see something a little bit more about marketing or ebb and flow of trends, business models and processes on how something is made, the cost of materials, and that whole from the inside out. So as collectors, we have a better understanding and appreciation for what these manufacturers, big or small, have to go through. And of course, so we have better insight as to whether we're overpaying for something and it's been artificially inflated when there isn't outlying factors escalating the price, as so many people say, oh, the cost of oil and plastics going up, so now you're going to pay $5 extra for your dolly.
Yeah. Well,
has it gone up that much to really justify it? So that, and of course, toy making would be really cool to understand the design and the mechanics and why certain toys work, why they're attractive for kids to play, and the science behind play. I think there's a lot that you could take away from.
Yeah, it would have been great to combine like art and drama class. It would have been cool to do drama skits, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, in high school with action figures. Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know.
Your YouTube videos are pretty fun.
It's so quiet here. It's weird. It's eerie. So if a tornado comes, well, it's been nice knowing all you guys.
There you go. Quick check-in on the campaign. We have 51 minutes to go. Zero change in the backers, zero change in the money we've raised, but I'm hopeful we're going to push that up. Do you think we can hit $10,000, Jay? We're about $1,000 away. Do you think we can hit that? What's your prediction for this?
I'd like to see 11.
$11,000.
$2,000 even last number guy. I like to end on a odd number. Let's do 11.
I'm going to say 9,300. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just hoping that we can push the needle a little bit more. That would be pretty rad. We're talking about the summer. We're talking about the weather. What are your summer plans? What do you have on the horizon for the next few months?
I just keep on chugging along with YouTube, which is quite challenging, rewarding when it's good, and not so much when it doesn't do good. Working at that, I think I've figured out formulas that work better for me, which is great. And music is number one. I'm just enjoying every second playing, and hopefully get outside a lot more if I'm allowed, if nature don't come get me.
The cruise come gets you when he needs to. The
what are you doing?
Spider spirit.
You're working, I know.
I got some work that I'm doing. I've just sent our good pal, Tater the Toy Guy, Nathan Sawyer. He just landed in L.A. to do a week-long run of interviews for Faking Filmation. So that's the immediate thing on the corner. And look, he just chimed into the chat. He says, what's up? He's at Cantor's, which is a iconic breakfast place where Guns N' Roses ate frequently while recording Appetite for Destruction. He took my advice.
Are they an indie band or something? Or?
They're an emo band. They're an emo band. They had one or two hits, mainly international stardom.
Oh, okay.
And other than that, I'm busy most of the summer with another production. For those of you in Canada, you probably know Mr. Dress Up. I've talked about my Mr. Dress Up documentary that I'm doing. I've partnered with a company out of Toronto to take it to the next level, and that is zapping all my free time, but in the best possible way, totally living my dream as a filmmaker at the moment and just soaking it up. And so looking forward to seeing how that plays out more than anything, because that'll be fun, all the while bouncing back and forth with Faking Filmation, polishing touches on AFA. But I'm hoping to just get out to a cottage or something and just leave some work behind for a bit for once. That would be That would be just capital. You know what I mean?
Did you strategically dye that strip in your beard, or does it grow that color? Because that's crazy.
This? No, yeah. This is just me, man. This is just, that's how it goes. That's
crazy how just, I don't know, I'm just mesmerized by it. I can't really see much. I'm squinting too. But yeah, it's amazing. Like, it's like a perfect ray stripe down the center, and the rest is like devil red.
Yeah, well, I got a few like little...
Oh, you do. You got a few whispers there. Yeah.
And I got a little... right there. Yeah, a whisper there, of the gray silver fox. It's okay. I'm getting out there. This is what Action Figure Adventure Season 2 and Kickstarter campaigns do to me.
So here,
I didn't used to look like this.
Here, yeah. And then here.
For you. I used to look like this. It's looked better. Hey, I got a question for you. We talked about how we used to run around the right neighborhood playing the guns with plastic guns, and I got you, boom, boom, zap, zap, and all that kind of stuff with Uzis and fake handguns and stuff, which would be totally frowned upon nowadays. Did you ever do any other kind of role playing with like the role playing kits? You know, they sold like a He-Man sword for kids to hold up, especially since it was like a big seller for new. Did you ever have like lightsabers and stuff that you jumped around in, or other kind of toy stuff that where you pretended to be the characters and not just through action figures?
Yeah, I got a really great story, a ridiculous one. I think I was about, I must have been five years old. It was when Empire Strikes Back came out, so it would have been 1980. And I was in love with Han's costume from Hoth, the wool hood. And I had a jacket like that. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it was July. And here I am at my grandma and grandpa's house in this winter coat with the hood up, with the fur, I got the scarf, I got the goggles, and I have shorts on, and then I have like knee-high rain boots. And I remember my grandparents just like, "What? Are you okay? Are you gonna be okay?" And I was like, I got so mad because they wouldn't hang me upside down. Yes, I know that's Luke, but I was like, "Just hang me upside down, Grandpa," and he wouldn't do it. So, yeah. I've role played stuff before, yeah. And then, of course, in my adult years, we had that Star Wars group and all that. So, yeah, it can be fun with the right people, absolutely.
Hey, good luck finding the right people for something like that. There's usually a lot of egos that get in the way. I'm going to dress up as Vader because I think I'm a better Vader than you are. Oh, no, you can't have that unless you have these kind of stitches in it. And then I want to be the leader. Yeah, no, you're the leader of the group. Well, all that to say, when you were starting that story, and you're like, when I was, and you said five, I thought you were going to say, when I was 25, that's where I thought that was going.
Well, I mean, do I still not? I mean, I purchased, I think, 2017, I got a Bespin Luke jacket, which I wear. I love it. So, I mean, that's role-playing stuff, right? I guess, kind of. I just think the clothes in Star Wars are really cool. I love that late 70s, early 80s fashion. The design choices they did for like Han's jacket and like the pants with the stripe and all that stuff is just so cool.
Yeah, and I love it when Lando borrows his clothing. And,
doesn't borrow you know, it. Suit There's he more does. Than one store.
Space Gap, right? That's where you just get the smugglers.
He goes to Space Gap, yeah.
Space Gap, you get the smuggler's outfit. That's where he gets his capes. We've seen.
But you know what? Aren't you a little bit bummed? Because they really destroyed the mystique of that. When you see Solo Star Wars story, because you're in like the bedroom of in the Falcon, and you see all the capes and stuff. It's just like, well, we can't really argue about that anymore. It's like, it was really cool when we thought that he actually took Han's clothes. Well, the power's out. So I'm supposed to navigate this. Oh my God, guys, if this is still live, this is like, it is live. So I got to carry this freaking show now. By myself in the dark. Okay, well, let's see if we can get to the chat here. I got this. Skelevator, help me. Okay, so I can't see myself right now. Again, the power's out here. The power just went out at Rob's house. So maybe he'll come back on, maybe not. But how's everyone doing today? Yes, it's live. Okay, cool. Welcome to Ontario, Canada. The most garbage weather you're ever going to see, because one day, actually 1 hour to the next, you don't know what's going to happen. What's everyone doing? Does everyone have any cool pickups there that you've got recently that are not extremely overpriced? What did I get? Even though I complained a lot about the Storm Shadow stuff, I got this guy. Again, I'm a slave to buying the same character, it seems, but... this one isn't a Hasbro one. I can actually see Storm Shadow, which is nice. I think this will be my last reaction figure unless they make the version 2 of Storm Shadow. That would be kind of cool. What's everyone saying? Making pancakes. Oh, that's nice. I haven't had pancakes in a long, long time. Boy, you want to talk about bare bones production here. This is pretty crazy. Just give me one sec, guys. I want to see if he's coming back here. I don't think he is. Sorry, I got to use the navigate on my phone here. Skelevator, was that I saw you there's a picture of you. It looked like a toy store.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back.
Look at that. That worked out.
Yeah, I kept it going. I was just asking Skelevator. He posted a picture of he got another Snake Mountain. I was just asking him. It seemed like it was missing the eyes for the sticker, but those are pretty easy to get.
What else did I miss?
I just was showing off my Storm Shadow for everybody to be disappointed in.
Well, I got a big update for everybody. We have 42 minutes to go, and we're at 9,200 now. 9,200, which is pretty fantastic. We're getting closer to that 9,300 that I'm hoping for. I forget what we were talking about. We were, I don't know. Does it even matter? This is the last show. Is anybody watching this? It's May 2-4 weekend. It's May 2-4 weekend. Why would the weather be good?
You want to talk about feeling isolated? You were gone. And I can't read chat. I'm sitting here in the dark. I'm like, hello. This is one for the books.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Because only, of course, that this would happen to us. I guess the other thing that we should talk about, Jay, is in a week, Kenobi's coming out. Have you read or seen anything that's changed your mind about Kenobi and that series that's coming? Or are you just going to take it in stride or race to it? Or what are you going to do?
I feel compelled to watch it. I feel a stress to watch it. I like watching Ewan McGregor. I don't think it's a story that we need to see. I don't think we need to see Obi-Wan look after Luke. Again, everything gets really convoluted. Everything's getting really, it feels like watered down for me. You're bringing in these Inquisitors and they're just kind of, for me, they're kind of lame. Because there was no more Sith, there was no more Jedi, and then everyone keeps writing these new Star Wars stories, and all of a sudden all these guys coming out of the woodwork. I just think it's a little much. I do want to see Ewan McGregor. I saw the Vanity Fair spread with Hayden in the Darth Vader suit, and I don't know, man. I think I'm over those moments where it's like, oh, there's Vader on the screen. I really am. I want to see.
We'll see. We'll see in about 7 days.
Oh, I'll be... It'll be great. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm just, if right now, if I could see a brand new Star Wars story that had nothing to do with that and not ever see the Obi-Wan, I would take the new stuff in a heartbeat.
Sure. Well, Ryan B is asking, Jay, most importantly, are you going to be doing Obi-Wan streams like you did for the Book of Boba Fett, breaking down each episode?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, I felt the same way about Boba Fett. This looks, the trailer, I've only seen the first trailer. It looks great. Like, it does. And it got me with the Duel of the Fates song. I mean, music is everything, right? So done properly, it invokes those emotions. I liked seeing Luke, little Luke, and he's kind of like watching over him. But I also heard, I think, did you tell me this, where it was the 6 episodes are more or less the movie that got scrapped?
Yeah, so it's supposed to be based on the film that they were going to do after Solo, and then all those standalone Star Wars story films got scrapped. And so I'm curious to see how much filler they've added into it as a result.
I can't hear you, bud. This is a rough one. I feel like we're in the Titanic right now.
We're giving everybody the ultimate all-star send-off.
You're frozen, and you sound like you've been digitized by Sauron.
Well, it's possible. It's possible at this point. Can everybody else hear me clearly?
What are we doing? Am I frozen?
No, you seem good.
Yeah, you're frozen, but whatever.
yeah, we'll just keep going like people are listening.
That it was made up of from the old script?
Yeah. Okay, they're saying they can hear both. Oh, and look, and Jay's just got pushed out, so obviously you guys can hear us both fine. I apologize for that. That's wicked. So yeah, Kenobi's supposed to be based on the feature-length film that they were going to do, two and a half hours. So they're going to stretch it out over six episodes that are probably closer to an hour. And we'll see where it ends up, if they're like, if it's 6 hours worth of content, if they're only 45 minutes, and how much extra storylines they add to it. I'm curious, much like Jay, I'm not convinced we need such direct stories within the Skywalker saga that ultimately are not going to change anything that we've seen in the films. Like, what's going to be the big epiphany that happens? It's like trying to do a story on the Titanic when we know the ship already sinks and not really changes anything of it, you know?
There was 12 minutes when Luke went to the bathroom on Dagobah. Maybe they'll make a show about that too.
Well, you know, we'll call it Down the Drain with the Force, and then we can go down the sewers.
So the quote is, in A New Hope, Vader says, "When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master."
Yeah.
And he also says to Tarkin, "It's a presence I haven't felt since," and he walks away. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Filoni and Favreau, they're very careful about treading on that, because, you know, the Star Wars guys are going to be like, wait a minute. And I'm one of them too. I'm like, well, if he hasn't seen him since Mustafar.
Well, he just says since ... It could have been since ... Tatooine.
Since or wherever. The Obi-Wan show.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Only a master of evil, Darth. That's the other one that's coming up.
I don't know, man. Did you watch, Moon Knight or any of that crap?
I don't care. I don't care. Can you tell everybody that we're ready to end this season? I got nothing left in the tank. I got nothing. You wanted to talk about something somewhat important, of course.
And that
has Hasbro destroyed our childhood? Oh, no, you called it, has modern collecting become stale?
Yeah, has it become boring? Yeah.
Well, yep. What's your answer? I think you mean. All right, next topic. Let's go down the list. Has it become stale? Yep. Are you buying anything? Nope. All right, have a good summer. Where are we with this Kickstarter campaign, everybody? Well, look, we're at 35 minutes to go. 126 backers, same amount as last time.
I guess we're a slave to our own habits, I suppose, and I'm no different. Where with new stuff, I feel that constant pressure. Like the Cobb Vanth figure, it's like, well, you got to get it because you can't find this stuff anywhere. So if you don't get it now, you probably won't ever get it unless you go on eBay. So it's become boring in the fact, and I'm referencing Black Series specifically. Sure. It's clones and Mando characters, and it's not even all the cool Mando characters. I miss the golden age of Star Wars collecting. For me, was 2005 to 2009. During that time, we got so many amazing figures. It's still my favorite period. We were so lucky then. We got aliens, B-side characters, guys that just walked across the screen. We got so much of that. And it's really sad that we're never, ever going to get to that point again.
I'll give it time. With all these Star Wars shows that are coming out with episodes and episodes long, who knows how deep they're going to go. A lot's going to depend, I think, on those toy sales, though. And right now, when you say, you know, has modern collecting become stale, let's really try to figure out what the problem is with that. Is there too many options? Is it too many of the same figures? Is it not interesting because there is no thrill of the hunt and it's more just about acquisition and not the hunting? Like, it's not really collecting when you're just acquiring. You know, which is why I think vintage is more fun.
And you know, no sympathy for the devil. Keep that in mind, right? But it's this constant need every quarter that it's like, okay, there's going to be another wave of this I got to get, then another wave of this. And it's kind of stepping back from that over the last month or so. It's really nice because when you go back and you kind of focus on vintage, there's actually an end to it. And I didn't think I really cared about stuff like that.
But that's what you think there's an end, because then you'll just find something else to collect. But it at least doesn't have the pressure to pre-order now, to buy it now, to get it then.
Okay, and I got to get this wave of Black Series before the Obi-Wan comes out. Then I get the Mando 3 ones, you know. Where am I going to come up with all this money? We've had 3 or 4 price hikes from Hasbro. And what did he say? Yes.
Jordan Morris has joined us. He says, yes. And it's not just me, old man Denitis, talking. Hey, gents, it is getting stale, modern collecting and everything, and how that whole wheelhouse is going. It's just boring. I wonder if Jordan's going to join you for a 4-hour Obi-Wan episode-by-episode breakdown.
Yeah, Jordan. Yeah, man. Like, let's do what we did last for Boba Fett.
It's summertime for Jordan, and his schedule is opening up. He's got nothing going on. He wants to talk Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan on Obi-Wan.
We were going to do a live stream, I think, a couple weeks ago on Indiana Jones movies, but it didn't. It just didn't work out. But yeah, I'd love to do the Obi-Wan one. I think you hit it when you said, you know, is there too many options? I think yes.
But that's a good thing. But that's good, right? Because that favors the buyers, right? We talk about, is this a buyer's market or a seller's market? People have been saying it's a seller's market because the price you can get for some of the stuff, and, you know, buyers are going to pay a premium. But to me, it's a buyer's market, at the very least for the modern side, because you have so many options. You don't have to get everything. And I think for me, it just makes me become more choosy about what I get and what I choose to allow in the collection. You know, we talked about the Dr. Doom from Mezco 112, their collective line, a couple episodes ago that I've got on pre-order. That's like the only thing in the last month that I've kind of decided that I wanted. Not that there haven't been other cool things. The only other one that I've seen that has been somewhat appealing is the Amazing Spider-Man from the Mezco 112 collective. And if they ever release that Green Goblin that they also showcased from those promo picks, then that would be good too. So I don't think I'm going to end up paying less for the toys overall. I'll just have fewer toys, but the toys that I want more than constantly acquiring stuff that I think I want.
Yeah. I think I would rather have less options. I think I would just rather have one line. It's like, you like it or you don't.
So extreme, Jay. Less options. Like it or you don't. When is less options a good thing?
I think
you either get Tiger Force Bazooka or Tiger Force Dusty.
Yeah, I think something like G.I. Joe, yeah, specifically. I see your point where they're catering towards everyone, but their 4-inch figures are terrible, and they don't know what they're doing with them. They have no direction. They just bring out a random vehicle 6 months and then another one in 2 weeks. It just, nothing makes sense, right, with it. I think the 3.75s are just an afterthought. I really think they focus too much on the 6-inch, and with anything, you know, we're not going to see vehicles for that stuff. So that also kind of turns me back towards vintage a bit more.
It definitely feels like with every single line out there, it's a race to market with whatever we can get done and hope that it sells. I think Super 7 does probably the best job at constructing their wave so that there's at least one deep cut in there and a couple fan favorites and one, you know, B-side character. But everything else really seems like, here you go. This is what we can do. You know, take it. It's like the wave numbers in G.I. Joe and stuff from Hasbro isn't even consistent from line to line. Sometimes G.I. Joe Classified will have like 4 figures, and sometimes they'll have like 8 figures. It's all over the place. It seems like they're still searching to figure out what they need to do. It's funny because Jordan just actually says, it's just not organic now. It's all artificial manipulations of the market. So it really feels like there's gears turning and levers being pulled. See what people are going to buy and what they're going to bite on. And every collecting group that I've seen online, every podcast that I've listened to is like really has an aversion to everything in the marketplace right now, which I also love, because I think once we can slow down, the fluff will go away. The filler is going to disappear. You'll be able to cut the crap off the top and just get left with the stuff that survives. That's good enough. You know, it's going to be survival of the fittest.
Yeah. I would like to see some of these lines kind of weeded out. That on top of the crazy prices, I know we joke about it, but it's serious. I can't afford to keep up with this stuff, right? So it just can't. Star Wars specifically is very boring. Like I said, it's clone after clone or another Empire Han, even the vintage stuff, as we've seen in Action Figure Adventure Season 2, right? I mean, they're reissuing characters, and they're just killing the collector's market, which I know they don't care about because they don't see any slice of the pie from that. But they're just reissuing these characters from 5 years ago. I liked back in the day when they released something and that was it. You know, like that was it. That was the character. But now it's like, oh, I'll wait 5 years and they'll do Jedi Luke again, you know.
There's certainly there's less demand, I feel, like less impetus to grab the Jedi Knight Luke because, you know, certainly at this point as collectors, there's going to be another one. Even with lines that aren't evergreen, like He-Man, you know, there's always sort of been some He-Man, but never a really big push. Like once Classics was gone, it was like, okay, what He-Man stuff is there? Okay, here's one He-Man figure that comes out from Super 7. Well, I guess you'll buy that because there's one. But then are they ever going to launch something new? Because that question mark is still up in the air for a brand that doesn't have a show or doesn't have a movie. Star Wars, Ninja Turtles, Transformers, they're in the media all the time. So it feels like you'll always get an Optimus Prime, a Luke Skywalker, and the four Turtles. It's a little bit harder to tell now. We're just getting over, and Jordan's chiming in again, of course, saying it's always been an element with this and that of limited numbers of female figs or those that the manufacturer guesses will be less popular. But now it's the primary focus of almost every release. You know, it's a guessing game, I think is what I'm inferring from what he's saying there.
Well, again, you know, I'll give you credit for your Super 7 comment. I think you're absolutely right. I think if one company does it pretty much perfect, it's them. You collect the Turtles, I collect the Thundercats, and there's, you know, one of the main Thundercats, one of the main villains, some weird B-side guy, and then a fan favorite. Like, they really mix it up, right? It's really nice. I was just gonna say real quick here, with G.I. Joe, they're so concerned with, now we got to release the twins, and who people like Zoran, why don't you just make some new characters? It's G.I. Joe.
Because
new characters.
Because they want to make sure that people will buy it and they won't necessarily buy something new that they don't have a nostalgic attachment to it. I would like, there's no reason why G.I. Joe can't make new characters, why Transformers can't have new Autobots or Decepticons. There's no reason why there can't be different Turtle figures or even He-Man figures. I mean, He-Man sort of tried that recently with Sunman, right? Because Sunman was a separate line to begin with, and then they've brought him into the fold of everything Masters of the Universe. So it's kind of like a new character, at least for the Masters crowd, but there's certainly lots of opportunities to do new characters in almost every line, but there's no guarantee that the adult collector who's buying them because of the nostalgic tie from their youth would buy them.
So it's weird then looking at the way they marketed things in the mid-2000s for Star Wars, how like Wilrow Hood was made. He was the guy in the jumpsuit in Empire when Lando was evacuating Cloud City. He runs by with what they call the ice cream container, which was later used in Mandalorian. Like they had someone sculpt that, create that figure, and throw it out. Like, it's so amazing. And now it's like the exact opposite. And I'm going to talk about the 95 stuff. The 95 stuff didn't sell, but these guys, there's a few behind me here, they sold really well and they're worth quite a bit of money now. So, again, kind of like, I'm of the belief that Hasbro wants to be Super 7 really badly. I really believe that. They want a piece of that pie. They want a piece of NECA's pie. That's why they're jacking up the prices. And, you know, anyway, that's a whole other thing. I'm losing my train of thought. You talk. I'm getting all upset.
Yeah, but that's what toy collecting does to us, right? Like
I want it to be exciting. I think they should follow the Super 7 model and kind of please everyone. And make some new characters. Just make some new characters. Take a chance.
You're gonna get new characters when you get new IP. Star Wars is doing that, right? Like you got the Mandalorian coming out, and then you got tons of Mando characters.
Yeah,
not all of them, just, but some of them.
This is what I
but
mean.
But they're new characters.
They're all the main guys. It's just so dull. It's like,
well, it's predictable, of course.
That's what I mean.
Because why would they take a chance, though? If you have six mainstays, why would you introduce another six that barely get screen time? Obviously, the six mainstays are going to sell more. Why would they risk it?
Because one of their greatest accomplishments, like I've just referenced three times now, I think, was
that they have no financial motivation to do it. It's not guaranteed. If they release a Mando figure, it will sell.
Well, I don't understand why they did it from 2005 on until
different the ownership, collection. Different ownership, different strategy. Now we're dealing with adult Dolly collectors, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Those shows are for adults more than they are for kids, right? And so if they're going to put figures out, that's definitely an adult market.
And most of us have been in the game for a long time, which is another reason why I don't understand why they don't make new characters. It's like, we all have 50 Dukes. Like, I don't need another Duke. I don't know. Yeah. I'm hoping, and this is not, I don't hate Hasbro. I got a lot of comments. I don't hate Hasbro. They're responsible for most of the great toys created in toy history. And they're a great company. Just right now, I don't like the direction they're going. They're doing too many missteps. Now you can't even see the toy. It's just crazy, man.
So next season, we're not going to come back and talk about toys. It's all going to be weather, and it's all going to be
weather. Yeah.
It's all just going to be talking about the weather and how it's affecting us in Canada and how we used to like collecting toys before we became curmudgeon-y old.
No,
we're basically like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets at this point. Nope. All we're doing is heckling toy makers.
We just have to change our thought process. It's up to us, right? I mean,
I do what they tell me to do. If they put it on the shelf, I buy it.
And there you go. If enough of us, honestly, the old saying, you vote with your wallet, right? I put that into practice in the game industry like 10 years ago. And I did. I stopped buying the same game over and over again, right? It's the same thing with this. It's if enough of us stop just buying it because we're just conditioned to do that, they're going to have to change something. They have to.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. I do think it's hitting that pinnacle moment of like that tipping point. Which way is it going to go? And this moment isn't going to be like a week. It's not going to be the summer. It could be a whole year before something happens.
Yeah.
But I think stuff like the Avatar film coming out, and if they have any figures based on that, that'll be telling, because obviously there's a lot of money going into the production of that sequel, and they're going to want to support it in a ton of ways, but they don't have the fan base for something like Avatar that Star Wars has. I think for these other shows that are coming out, the MCU films and TV shows, how much toy support that all that stuff gets, and all the other ancillary series like Stranger Things, how much they're going to put other media like toys behind the release of this stuff and what happens to the marketplace as a result. I think it's going to be super interesting, especially with price increases that we've seen and shipping delays.
Yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything you were saying there. And I mean, some of the choices they make are just so strange. Like that Shang-Chi movie that did nothing and is just notoriously slammed for being awful. Got an entire wave. And then I look back at like a masterpiece like Daredevil on Netflix, got three figures.
I think there's a bunch of reasons for that. One, it was a show that was on Netflix and not on Disney, so that they're not kind of double dipping there. Shang-Chi did really well at the box office, actually. It's one of the first films back at the theaters and defied all expectations despite a lot of behind the scenes mumbling. But it's pretty typical for Hasbro to release a wave of Marvel Legends based on whatever film is coming out. Not necessarily a show. Usually you'll get one or two characters from a show in a wave that gets announced mid-season. But yeah, I mean, how is it going to be a B movie that gets a whole wave? Are they just going to save it for like the bigger films? How come there was no wave for Doctor Strange 2?
Well, there is. Myth? There is.
Oh, is there? I forgot and fell asleep.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's boring stuff, right? So, I mean, I encourage everyone who's watching. There's other great toy companies doing some stuff. I mean, we're flooded with DC Multiverse stuff. Again, it might be getting a little out of hand now. But I think the McFarlane prices are great. The figures aren't the greatest as far as quality goes. I find a lot of them are really difficult to pose. And they come with stands, so obviously Tom McFarlane knows this.
Yeah.
But it's you know, given to get some kind of thing, right? I would much rather pay a lot less and then, you know, I can't pose him like Spider-Man. Okay, no big deal. That's no big deal to me, right? So
But here's my prediction for what's going to happen. And whenever the show comes back on air, or whether we just kind of do it when we want to here and there around the release of season two of AFA for broadcast and distribution for our Kickstarter backers, I think what will end up happening is a huge reduction in what's available, and that you'll only have the biggest of biggest brands coming with a lot less figures that they can only dependably count on. And I think our demographic, us in our mid to late 30s to our early 50s, we continue to age, and where we want to put that those dollars isn't going to necessarily be in dollies. More of us are only having more family priorities and more family expenses that are happening, college, and, you know, we want to take the family and go here and there, or, you know, can I, you know, buy $5 for the half a cost of a family vacation when I don't really love the dollies to begin with? Hard to say. You know, I want to buy a new guitar, or I can have five figures on the shelf. What's going to bring more joy for the long run? It's almost like when we became teenagers and we found other ways of playing. We didn't stop playing. The play just changed and evolved. And I think that this resistance is going to push us to find something new to fill the gap that we're going to have just as much fun with. And those dollars will shift to something else while still hanging on to the thing we love. And then maybe later we'll rediscover it. But I think the biggest thing, and then I'll shut up, is that once this bubble pushes up.
Yeah, Rob's frozen. The video I posted, it's probably about 3 weeks ago now, on Hasbro. It was just more or less us as consumers just changing the way we think, you know. And again, this is not anti-Hasbro or anti any company, because it's just not. It's us saying, you know, it's not okay to constantly increase the prices this much. And I understand what's going on in the world and that kind of thing. There's obviously sympathy to that, but we don't have to buy everything. And I think when you kind of free yourself from that, and I'm probably the most guilty because I put that pressure on myself. When you free yourself from that, that stress just melts away. And another reason why I've turned back to vintage a lot is the only pressure with vintage is the pressure you put on yourself. If you want to complete a certain line, I'm looking at, you know, the Kenner Indiana Jones stuff. Like, it's fun to look for that stuff now because, I mean, it's been around since 1981, and, it's going to be expensive here and there when I do find it, but I know it's there. I know it's just kind of waiting there for me, where the Hasbro waves, even the Super 7, the Mattel stuff, if you don't get the fourth wave of the new Master stuff within this short window, if your city even gets it, you're going to miss out on all that stuff, you know? So that video for me was more just kind of like, how do I say it? Like the end of an era for me where I felt the need to constantly be chasing the next thing. And that's not to say I'm never going to buy a Hasbro toy, because that's ridiculous, but I kind of disagree with Rob a little bit, where I think you can still enjoy toys. It's not about not enjoying toys. It's just changing your focus a little bit. I'm still on. Rob froze. You're good, Jay. Thanks, guys. Again, I got to click on. I'm just on my iPhone here because I'm still out of power. It looks like Rob is completely out of power here. We've got about 15 minutes left here. Yeah, again, so if you guys haven't had a chance to check out the Kickstarter, please do that now. This is your final chance, actually, to get a copy of the Blu-ray. You can take it home, like I said earlier. You can lend it to your buddies.
I won't be denied.
Watch it over and over again. And the quality that goes into this stuff, I mean, Rob does such a great job. It's worth owning. And I look forward to getting mine. And believe me, I have to pay for it. So there you go.
He has to pay.
Welcome back.
He has to pay twice as much as everybody else.
I got to pay twice as much. Yeah.
That's how it works.
He's not lying either.
We have 13 minutes to go. 92.25. It's getting close. I wonder if we can get at least three more backers. I wonder if that'll push us over the 9,300 that I kind of predicted. And you see how the universe just shut me up midstream there on my monologue. What I was going to say to finish the thought was, I think once we get delayed from continuing down the trench run of buying figures and buying figures, the stuff that they'll produce because of that 30-year sweet spot for nostalgia is going to be past the point where we don't have a connection to it anymore. and they'll be targeting kids and groups that don't have the same connection to toys that we did growing up, because they'll be more tethered to the video game playing experience as a youth rather than the dollies that we had.
Yeah. I don't think like for guys our age, I don't think we have to stop enjoying toys. I think there's vintage has so much to offer. It's just, I was just telling everybody in chat there too, that I'm probably the most guilty of being conditioned to constantly buy the new figure or the new thing, right? Like I'm probably the worst out of everybody. So me having to retrain my thought process on that has been quite challenging, but like I mentioned on my Facebook post today, it's really nice when you don't have that stress anymore. It's just like, I can't do it. I mean, Hasbro really made that choice for me. I can't afford to do it anymore. It's like, okay, well,
there you go. Where's the temptation for you? Is there any of new stuff, or have you just shut the whole thing off like extremely, like you don't even look at new stuff?
Oh no, I do. I can still admire it from afar if Hasbro lets me look in the box, you know. All kidding aside, I'm not going to say I'll never buy another new thing again. Of course not. But just when you can finally let go and, you know, just let that grill go, just let it go, you know, and then it's gone forever. And then you can kind of pick and choose what you want. Again, no sympathy for me because I'm conditioned. I mean, I've been buying Star Wars steadily since 1995. Right? I mean, that's crazy. So that's become such a part of my life that now it's like, you know, you're just breaking that habit. I feel like, yeah, we're in a therapy session.
That's what collecting is, isn't it? Isn't the collecting the ultimate therapy? Filling the, yeah, gaps, trying to understand who we are with the toys that we buy, reflecting our personalities on the shelf, changing the shelf like we're trying to change ourselves. Isn't that how that works?
Jamie's got a good comment there. You want to pop that one up?
Yeah, sure. This one, I'm tired of choosing between waiting, yeah, months for pre-orders and paying for scalpers. Just pay for it if you want it, you know? Or it's like, are you patient? Do you want it now? Or do you want to pay more? That's an easy choice. I'm patient. I've got enough dollies. I can wait. If I truly want it, I'd rather wait and save the cash.
Yeah. And again, don't forget, you know, I'm going to beat this into the ground, but there's a whole world there for vintage. And I mean, the Star Wars stuff I was referring to is now considered vintage, right? The mid-2000s, yeah, stuff. There's just some great, great figures that we'll never see again. Because like you said, Rob, new ownership, the business model is different now, and they don't care about those figures anymore. I forgot. Yeah, that's around when Disney bought. That's when everything, yeah, changed. Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that you mentioned like the mid-2000s. I think that sweet spot, that 2004 to about 2016, there's a lot of great figures in that era that has now become vintage or at least retro that is being overlooked because people want to go right back to the early 90s, 80s, and 70s to find that stuff from their youth. But some of the early reboot stuff and the next gen adult collector offerings was in that mid-2000s, and they're really, really solid. And you don't, yeah, have to look at a picture on a box to choose that if you want it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was the real, we talked about the Amazing Fantasy Spider-Man figure, and that was the real, yeah, final straw for me. I'm like, not retreading over what we've said, but we both had our share of paint app horror stories from Hasbro. On top of that, there's the figure swapping. And it's just, I want to see the figure. And I've had people comment on my video, well, you don't see Lego. That's right. You don't see Lego, but I know Lego is 100% quality because it always has been.
Yeah.
From I was a kid till now, it's the same thing. I know what I'm getting. Hot Toys, I know exactly what I'm getting. You're right. I can't see the figure, but I've held enough to know that those are immaculate figures. Yeah. So that's the difference. Hasbro has this inconsistency. If you look at the Force Awakens Black Series 2015 stuff, look at some of those figures. Look at Poe Dameron. It's horrific. It's just horrific. So this is what I'm talking about. We're not being able to see the figure and why it's so important.
We got 8 minutes to go on our Kickstarter campaign for Action Figure Adventure Season 2. I'm going to see if I can play the trailer through here to see if you guys can hear it.
Action Figure Adventure is a quest. We are building the ultimate action figure auction, looking to get 10 key items where all the proceeds will go to Children's Health Foundation. What do you think would be a fair price for the two of those guys?
How about this? You buy Starscream at $400 and I give you Soundwave for free.
Holy
the legendary Heroes Comics, baby. Treehouse Collectibles in Toronto. We're here at Cape and Cowell. Here we are at Retro Rewind.
That'll fit in the car, right? So am I going to get cursed if I grab this? This sticker here is just insane. What's the price on the Battle Beast?
I have $400 on the sealed Battle Beast box.
Jay is one of the more openly passionate people that I've encountered across my different adventures in life.
He's got that passion and that want and that desire to find those toys, to have conversations about those toys.
He's taken it upon himself to utilize the knowledge and the base and the toys of what he's done to create and drive this cause, this mission.
I've worked with the Children's Health Foundation for about 6 or 7 years now. And if I can do anything to help them out, even just a little bit, it's well worth it.
I think toys change and transform us because it gives us something tangible that we can hold in our hands and actually take action with.
I absolutely think that this is, it's more than just play. I think it is a big part of development in young children.
It allows kids to just be without, you know, so many rules or, you know, boxes that they have to try to fit in.
It helps them grow and discover things about themselves that they might not have discovered elsewise, because they're not watching a screen or people saying, this is how you need to do something. They get to decide. They get to choose their own adventures.
I mean, who wouldn't want to get into a van with their best friend and buy toys? And then at the end of this great journey, you get to take the toys and give it back to kids in need. It's everything. That's why I love these adventures. You don't know what's going to happen.
Whack.
Yeah, that would be awesome to put that in there. We lost a backer there. They decreased their pledge, and hopefully that happens because they're picking something that's bigger in the final minutes. We got 6 minutes to go, so we're at 91-91 right now. If you want to jump in, this is the last time to get one of those signature Blu-rays and DVDs. It's an experience you won't get anywhere else. It's only $10 for a digital copy for the 10 episodes, $1 an episode. You're getting some quality there. I don't have much to say in terms of promoting anymore. Jay, when you look at the trailer, what is it that you see and that you remember most that might convince people if they're on the fence?
Well, there's a lot of toys that we came across that I hadn't seen in quite a long time. So if you want just, I mean, I love watching toy room tours. I love watching toy store tours. So if you guys want to see just, I think there's about 10 or 11 stores, however many there are, like just completely different from one another and having completely different toys. Just that alone, I think is really exciting. And it's kind of fun to kind of play along with me and just yell at me, yell at the screen and say, no, Jay, don't get that, you idiot. Buy this other thing. That's always fun too.
Yeah, 4 minutes to go. I think the variety that we see, the stores, the different places, the fact that you're on a very pressing ticking clock that's evident from the get-go. We're not doing this leisurely over 6 months. This is, you know, in the case of 7-8 days or whatever it ended up being, we're not coming back to these stores. Once you leave, that's it. You don't have a chance to rethink your strategy. You go with it, and it is really fun to play the home game to see the choices that you'd make and the figures that you would grab. Of course, our auctions were super successful if you've been following along in the previous weeks, but how we got those figures, where they came from, the stories, the lengths to which Jay went through to acquire stuff is another interesting tale of the tape, I believe.
And there's a store called Retro Rewind, and I had to say that about 200 times. I couldn't get it out.
That's what happens in these early morning shoots. I think we were there fairly early, like around 9 a.m. after driving 13 hours the previous day, which doesn't sound like it's a hard thing. But when you're just sitting in a car, your mind starts to just like play tricks. And so it's hard to get back into the groove again and just throw out introductions that we're crafting on the fly, frankly.
yeah, I mean, the story is unfolding. It's a lot of fun. It's in the same vein as season one. I think this one is just, it seems more exciting. I think, again, because it was all just one trip. It's in the same vein as Nintendo Quest. You can see the pressure, you can see the stress, and you can see the fun, just the fun that we have filming this.
Totally. Luna Spark is saying he's good with their pledge. Season 2 Blu-ray signed add-on cover plus Season 1 special edition Blu-ray. That's the way to do it. You're going all in. I love that. Scott Baker, thanks for joining. And Articulated Chad, thanks for joining as well. I saw that you woke up late and you joined as a result after that. We've had a great turnout for our season finale episode of our live streams for the Jay and Rob Toy Show. We have 2 minutes to go on our Kickstarter campaign. Currently sitting at 127 backers. $91.91 US dollars. Great turnout, almost double what we were looking for. Hard to be upset with anything like that. Jay, I want to do action figure spotlight again, of course, but I have a feeling we're going to get interrupted with the final 60-second countdown. Do you have a figure to showcase this week?
I already showed it. Well, one of the times.
Can you find something else on the fly? You have a few dollies. Just something. Pick something randomly that you can make up a story for on the fly.
Okay. Well, you go first then, and make yourself big, and then I'll go do my disappear and go get some.
Okay, well, Danny's saying he got what he wanted from the campaign, but he's going to have to make his own bootleg shirt. Danny, we're going to talk about shirts because Retro Rags, of course, you're home for awesome pop culture illustration merchandise like shirts and whatnot, can help us out and we can figure something out. So if you have an idea, please let me know. We'll work that out. 110 seconds to go, guys. This will be the shortest. I'm going to wait the 100 seconds before we do action figure spotlight. I think that's probably best. This is it. This marks the end of the campaign. Less than 100 seconds to go. 127 backers, $9,191. I'm curious to see if there's any more last minute additions to join our inside community for Action Figure Adventure Season 2. You will get the episodes in about 6 months or less, depending on when our broadcaster decides that they're going to air them in Canada. Everybody in the campaign will get them a week ahead of time and get them week by week to join the water cooler talk about what happens. Really exciting stuff. Vic Mendes Santiago says I'm the last backer so far. That may be true, and I appreciate it. You were saying earlier that you only had $10 for a digital copy. That's all it costs to get on board. That's a huge help to us, and we appreciate it. And greetings from Mexico. Greetings to you too, my friend. Here we go. Less than a minute, 55 seconds to go. It's been a trip that this started in August of 2021, and here we are, May 2022. Hard to believe. Whether we have a season 3 or not, time will tell. We have ideas, of course. Right now, we're focusing on season 2. 35 seconds to go. Jay, what are your final thoughts as this campaign runs out? What's this been like between the 11 weeks of auctions, seeing some of the episodes and posts, and now the campaign winding down? 24 seconds.
I mean, it's a good conclusion, but it's always sad. I always get sad around this time when it's time to wrap everything up. Guys, you won't be disappointed. Season 2 is just, it's a lot of fun.
Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that wraps it up. Look at the confetti. Yay! We did it. Boom. Funded just like that. Now, of course, everybody's going to get charged right away. There's usually a few cards that don't make it, so that total isn't 100% perfect and reflective of what we'll end up netting, but it is a good help, and we definitely hit our target in order to cover a disc run and help out with insurance and legal costs. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. Feels good. Feels good that that's behind us, and we got a whole community of people to continue on with it. You ready for Action Figure Spotlight? Okay, I'll go while you're looking for a figure. So this week's figure I wanted to showcase is one that I've talked about in the past before, and I think it truly reflects what Jay and I are trying to do with both of our collecting habits across the summer and beyond, depending on what the toy companies do. And I want to showcase Egon Spengler from Diamond Select, the real Ghostbuster figures. Now, this was a figure I picked up all four when we first started shooting season one of Action Figure Adventure. This is a great example of a figure based on an IP that I just absolutely loved, that I had tucked away since I moved and didn't discover until last couple of weeks that I started taking it out of the box again. And I just truly appreciated something that I had already, but didn't have room to display it for one reason or another. So really taking something in like a figure like this and a few other ones that are just tucked away can be enough on its own to just rekindle that spark and realize you don't need something new to find that joy once again. Of course, with some of these figures, you got to really be careful about like this cable that attaches the neutrino wand. It is super fragile. Some of the figures that came out of the box with it already kinked, and they're not attached very well. Like you can see a kink right there on the end.
Yeah.
And that's pretty common for most of the figures. They are notoriously difficult to stand as well, which is something we discovered when we were filming them for Action Figure Adventure Season 1. But I got these stands from Retro Universe, Scott Wadd, for my Masters of the Universe figures, but they fit these Diamond Select figures really well as well. So they're very easy to pose with them. You don't have to get perfect articulation for the balance on that to work. Great figure, great likeness, fun. And again, that sense of rediscovery for something you have, even switching up your collection and displaying it differently, is enough to give you a little bit more fuel in the tank to keep going. What do you got, Jay?
So talking about the golden age of Star Wars collecting in the mid-2000s, I pulled down from the wall. Now, this is just exactly how amazing Hasbro was back in the day. They were doing these comic packs. So not only were they doing characters that were just on the screen for a few short times, they were doing expanded universe stuff. So these comic two packs are great. So before there was Kylo Ren and all that stuff, this was kind of like much after Return of the Jedi. This is Darth Talon, who's the same species, I believe, as Maul. And this is Cade Skywalker, the son of Luke, who is no longer canon, unfortunately, since Disney took over. Not the greatest of stories. I love just how obscure and crazy these figures are, though. And this is the kind of stuff that I want toy companies to get back to. See, look at these other guys you can get. It's a Boba Fett comic. It's just so great. I'm not saying don't bring out the main characters. We need the main characters. But let's get some of this obscure stuff going again, because I can't be the only guy that loves the weird kind of rare characters. I mean, I've always been that way. So, yeah, this is one that's sitting on my wall. I got a lot of these comic packs. But that's honestly the first one I grabbed. So there you go.
Awesome. That's it. That's the last Action Figure Spotlight for this season. Reflections on the last run of episodes that we did, the last 25 shows. Any thoughts? Parting words?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I hope everyone enjoyed the move with us from the Wednesday night to the Saturday. I think the Saturday, it's just a better time slot. I think it's more in the vein of Saturday cartoons, right? Cartoons kind of ended at noon. So that's like where we would begin. So I hope everyone enjoyed that move. And everyone in the chat, like, it's just incredible the support you guys give and all the kind words and the interaction I love too. So I will still be doing my live streams. Rob will still be doing stuff. So we're not going anywhere. Just this show is just going off until the fall. Like any amazing TV show, gotta have rest, right?
Couldn't have said it better myself. We'll still be around. You can still get us at the regular places. Jay, remind everybody where they can get a hold of you.
YouTube, my friends. Jay Bartlett, for all your toy goodness. Check it out.
And you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Rob McZub, of course, through this YouTube channel. Please hit like and subscribe. It encourages me to do more of this stuff and find other reasons to talk dollies, cartoons, and everything else that's going on in our weird and wonderful world that connects us all with our passions. Been a great season. Appreciate all the community members that we have now, both from Wednesday night and now Saturday morning, and those that have discovered the Kickstarter, which will get inundated with all our hijinks soon enough. So from myself, Ron McCallum, and of course, my good friend Jay Bartlett, for the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, take care of each other.
What? Take care of each other.
Yeah, take care of each other.
Take care of yourselves and each other. And guys, have a great summer around. And have a lot of fun. We'll see you in the fall.
And bring an umbrella for those unexpected weather storms. Enjoy whatever weather's out there for you guys. Weather the storm! That's how you become a toy collector. Take care. See you guys. Cheers.